That Sober Guy podcast contains adult content, merciless truth, and emotional nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
I'm Shane Raymer. You're listening to That Sober Guy podcast, and we help people stay sober. If it's your first time listening, welcome. I'm so glad that you're here today. If you're looking to cut back on your drinking, we have one of the best 30-day alcohol-free challenges out there. It's helped hundreds of men all over the country quit drinking alcohol, become better fathers, better leaders, better entrepreneurs, and just better overall men. That's the goal we're going for here. You can sign up for that. You can check out all of our other podcasts and resources by going to thatsoberguy.com. Now, our guest today is Mr. Walker Hayes. And you may have heard of Monument Records recording artist Walker Hayes from his hit Fancy Like, which topped every country music sales and streaming chart, spent more than 6 months at the number one spot on the Billboard Hot Country Songs chart, and also gave Walker his first Grammy Award nomination as an artist for Best Country Song. And another thing you may or may not know is that Walker had his own struggles with alcohol, with addiction, and through his success is now sharing his journey on his most popular on his most recent project, which is called Sober Thoughts. And we're going to talk about that today and get into Walker's story a little bit. And man, I'm just very grateful to have you on the show today, Walker. So thank you for coming on That Sober Guy podcast.
Man, thanks for having me. It's an honor. I appreciate you letting me come on and hang with you.
Yeah, man. So you're from Alabama, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm originally from Mobile.
Nice.
Down south. And my wife and I both, we met in high school down there. But yeah, grew up in Mobile in a little area called Spring Hill.
Awesome. And,
but I've been in Nashville now about 20 years.
Yeah. Got it. Okay, man. So, so I guess it's probably fair to say that you've been grinding for a long time, man.
yeah. You know, I mean, yes, but it's been a good, you know, it's the torture I chose, and I love the process, and it for me, the music thing wasn't about getting famous. It was just being able to do what I love to do, you know, and maybe provide for my kids one day. So, but yeah, man, as far as like paying your dues, I feel like my dues owe me back a little bit. I'm like,
yeah,
it's been a long journey. Yeah.
Yeah. So, let's kind of dive into that then. I'd love to hear, I'd love to share with those out there listening today. Before you found success in music, what was your life like? What was that kind of grind like, being a husband, a father, just trying to do what you love for a living? And I'm sure there's a lot of ups and downs and challenges along the way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was an adventure for Lainey and I from the get-go. You know, not a lot of people in our circle leaving Mobile, you know, to do the music thing. And, I know a lot of this is about sharing my drinking testimony, if you will. But I mean, I started drinking at 13. So, you know, when I met Lainey, you know, we met drunk, you know, we were partying in high school, and that's the Walker she knew. And, that was where it all began for me at 13. I was kind of a shy, like, I don't really know who I am, kid, trying to fit in with my siblings and my friends. And then I was telling somebody today, actually, I drank 3 Zimas in not the manliest start, but I had 3 Zimas at this playground with a church group. And then immediately I was funny. I was brave. I was crazy. I was crazy. And it was like, oh, I like this Walker. Mm. You know, I was like, this Walker has got swag. And, and it went on, man, until I was like 36, but I'm sure we'll get to that. But man, Lainey and I, we moved here on a whim. We got engaged in 2003, and music was kind of late to my life. Like, I liked music, but I never thought, hey man, I want to do this for a job, you know, until later in life. And my dad kind of coerced me into getting this gig. And I mean, I just followed my heart. It was such a fun gig that I was like, dude, I want to move to Nashville. And I think I want to be a rock star. Like, this is fun, you know?
Yeah.
And Lainey and I moved here, and, you know, against anyone's advice, we got pregnant fast. It was just kid after kid after kid. Not a lot of progress. I mean, I always had a home, like a place to write songs, and I would somehow land record deals, but they would never really go anywhere. And so daily life, you know, for me, for the majority of my time here in Nashville, I was that guy who was typically buzzed throughout the day, holding a kid, probably avoiding conversations because I got tired of people saying, what do you do? And me saying, well, I'm a songwriter. And then they say, well, what have you written? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, dude, I got nothing for you. I'm not there yet. You know, I don't have that cool answer. And that was, bro, that was 15 years, you know, and we're only at 20 here. So the majority of my time here in Nashville, we got beat up, you know. But again, when you love something, that torture just kind of rolls off your back. I mean, you really don't got a choice, you know. This is what you – I just love it, you know. And even if the odds were stacked against me, I never was smart enough to, like, step back and notice, you know. I was just doing what I love to do, and I live for that next song I was about to write. So this success, man, is crazy. I mean, it came out of nowhere. Nobody could have predicted it. I still am kind of looking around at my life, honestly, being like, God, why in the world, you know, of all the talented people in this town, why'd you give me a song like that Applebee's song? I mean, cause a lot of my friends, man, they're so talented and it's not going to happen, you know? And I hate that, you know, for them, but yeah, man, it's kind of miraculous. You know, our whole story is pretty freaking crazy. But yeah, now we have six kids. The toughest stuff, you know, we had to go through was we lost our seventh child. Her name was Oakley, She was a stillborn, and just kind of showed us what matters, you know, in this life. And honestly, all this success really doesn't. And by the grace of God, I was sober when we lost her, and I stayed sober, and that's miraculous.
Yeah.
Absolutely miraculous. I mean, just, I truly feel like if I can struggle through that, you know, maybe I'm good, but I don't want to get too confident, you know?
Man. I have like 10 questions I want to ask.
Bring
you
it on, man. Yeah.
So thank you. Okay, let me think where I start. I want to go back to the Zimas almost, because that feeling of like escape, you know, just that first that first moment of like you said, man, I like this Walker right here, you know. So there's that, and then, but let's start here first though. So for dudes out there listening, you talked about having a baby in one arm, and you're working, you're grinding, you're trying to take care of your family, and there's that one tool that works for a lot of us dudes out there, and it's so. There's such a normalcy bias behind it. We just come home and we have a few beers and we relax. We escape a little bit.
Yeah.
How did you kind of overcome that? What changed for you in that time that you're able to start thinking about like, man, maybe I don't really want to live like this. Maybe I don't really want to use alcohol as my number one tool to deal with life.
That's a great question. And honestly, I do a lot of, you know, speaking about this, and no one really ever asked me this, but let's just talk practically.
Yeah.
I mean, look, sadly, there's a lot of things I could go down a list, 10, 20, 30 things that I was doing while using alcohol. You know, one, I drove drunk all day, every day. I mean, I drove to Costco to work at 3 a.m. hammered. I left Costco hammered. I went to a show hammered. I came home hammered. I made beer runs hammered with my kids in the back. you know, I drove my wife around hammered, you know, and so not a good decision. So obviously I'm not looking at life going, let's make smart decisions. Yeah. I'm blitzed, you know, so my inhibitions are gone. Sadly, I just wasn't present in relationships. And honestly, man, I'm not selfless enough to really care about relationships outside of my house. But look, my wife and my kids, I care. Like I'm sad to say, there's pictures of me with my kids. I don't remember, you know, and we look happy and I'm smiling, but my eyes are bloodshot. And I know I don't remember that, you know, I don't remember those days. And for the life of me, you guys, I wish I could, you know, and, you know, as I adventured into sobriety, you know, I'm 36 when I quit drinking. So 13 to 36, I had a nice buzz, you know. Obviously I had many nights where I don't know how I got home or how, you know, I couldn't tell you the story of them. But, you know, one thing I noticed after that and kind of continuing in my sobriety and learning about myself and my sobriety and my recovery, a guy gave me some really great advice. He was like, when you wake up after a sober night, you never regret, ever. You never, never regret not drinking.
Yep.
Complete opposite the other way. Even if no one knows and it's just between you that you cut that edge with that mechanism that you know has control over you, a lot of regret, a lot of hurt, you know. And so that was helpful to me. But yeah, man, just, you know, your question, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, did you fall into that repetitive cycle too? I know that for me, this went on for a couple of years where I would drink, I would swear up and down I wasn't going to drink the next day. I would feel guilt, shame, all the stuff. And then the next day I would be right back at it again, doing the same thing. And it was this endless cycle. And it was so overwhelming and so exhausting at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I was just literally exhausted. Did you experience some of that too?
Completely. Yeah. I tried to quit when I was 28, and I went for a stint that made me feel real good of not drinking.
Yeah.
And then I did that, like, I'm going to do one a day thing. You know, I was like, I've outgrown this. And, but man, that's addiction. You know, addiction grabs you and you backslide. And then to heal or medicate or band-aid that guilt and shame of backsliding, you run back to that sin, that thing, you know. And that is, there is freedom from that. If you're out there listening and you're in that place, and man, that's not just alcohol. That's porn. That's like, that's all kinds of crap, you know, that you do in isolation that just demoralizes you as it defeats you over and over and over again. And that is that anybody in that place, I friggin' love you. And I know what that feels like for sure. Cause that's bad. That doesn't feel good. And it feels lonely. And you feel helpless, you know, you really do.
Yeah. So when you got to a point of that exhaustion, excuse me, and you're just, you know, you want to change, you know, something has to change. Like, what was it? Was there a pivotal moment for you that you could share that, you know, that you had that awakening time?
Yeah. There were a couple moments, you know, but I can give you some high points that I won't ever forget. One was my wife, you know, your wives are funny, you know, like, they can care for you, but it can become annoying. And you can, all you can see is that they crave the convenience of your sobriety. And so you're like, yeah, I know you think life would be easier if I would just quit drinking. I know that. What I didn't hear from Lainey was, I just love you, Walker, and I really care for you. I just was like, stop, you know, just leave me alone about it. But one night, that frustration, that argument that a lot of relationships have regard around this led to my accidental confession of, oh, I know I have a problem. Like, No. You don't have to tell me. Is that all you want to hear? Is for me to say this, I drink an abnormal amount. Like I drink to survive. I confessed to her one night and after I said this, I was like, hey, if you think I'm messed up drunk, you don't want to know me sober. Like you trust me. If you know me sober, you'll be like, drink again, you know? And that honestly, that was a stupid, stupid argument. But what it got me to do was say something that I couldn't go back from. I couldn't go back and go, ah, I was just saying that in the moment. You know, I knew I had a problem. She knew I knew. And that was a huge step, you know, just being like, oh yeah, it's a problem.
Did you feel something alleviate when you said, even if you said it on accident, did you feel anything when you kind of admitted that? And like any release or anything,
bro, it's the truth sets you free. I mean, it was like, it was just like, it was kind of letting, it was getting both of us on the same table, you know, just, it was like, okay, I got there. I don't know what's next, but yeah, this is. We're getting dangerous, you know. We're talking bodily harm. We're talking making some really bad decisions. We're talking, dude, I got kids starting to affect their lives, you know, seriously. You got a drunk dad. Okay, that's a real, you know. And I think a lot of it, man, was just that denial of, look, I have experience with siblings in recovery. I have experience with family. And I think some of us, that experience that we live in this like denial that we're capable of that. And honestly, by the time, you know, I was 36, I was just as bad as any of them, you know, I mean, and I didn't really want to come to grips with that. But that was freeing, to tell Lainey. And then, man, for me personally, I woke up one day, the day I stopped drinking, there were two things. One, I noticed Lainey's like Google history was all rehab. It was like, it was intervention stuff. It was rehab. It was like, how do you help? You know, it was very, I could tell that she was on a deep dive and she was struggling and she was somewhere I didn't know she was.
Yeah.
Scared for us, scared for me, scared for the kid, you know. And then, you know, that was sobering. That was like, wow, oh my God. Like, you know, and then also I just felt like I was going to die. Like my body physically whispered to me and just was like, you're going to die. You're going to kill something eternally. Like I'm not a doctor, but the day I quit, I don't know how many more nights I could have done it. I mean, it had been years. And so I don't know. I would imagine, look, I'm 8 years sober. I bet you if I went to a doctor and they like looked at all that stuff, they'd be like, you still got some war wounds from that stuff. You know, I guess, I don't know.
Could be.
But so those are some, you know, those were some telltale like moments, you know, that I won't forget that kind of, but then, man, you know, since sobriety, you know, that did, it was really good. Quitting drinking was one of the greatest pivotal moments for me ever, but it also sent me into this tailspin of like replacing one addiction with the other. And then realizing that I could get addicted to freaking Cheez-Its. Like I'm just that guy, you know? And so I can take something amazing and make it ruin my life quick, you know? And so.
A lot of us have that kind of that pedal to the metal mentality. My wife says a lot. She said, man, like you're all or nothing. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I'm trying really hard. Like where the balance is, you know, but
I know.
It kind of is. And it's almost a blessing and a curse at the same time, because we're very driven people. We know what we want. We have visions. We have goals. We have a lot of love. But at the end of the day, man, sometimes, like you said, Cheez-Its, or mine's Jelly Bellies, man. I'll crush like a bag of Jelly Bellies sitting just, so you know, recording or doing whatever, working. Yeah. And I'm just like, man, I got to stop this, man. But
I know.
Yeah. So you end up getting sober. You kind of get to that bottom, I guess, have these real realizations. That was before you kind of, I don't know, quote unquote, made it right in the music business. That was before. Yeah. So there's a lot of folks in entertainment, a lot of my friends and a lot who listen to this show. And so one of the things I love touching on when I get an opportunity to talk to people like you is like, how do you balance being an artist, being a dad, a husband, and staying sober through all that? You're on the road a lot. There's a lot going on. Like, what does that look like for you?
So, I mean, this sounds very elementary, but man, I just know how, look, I don't know how else to say it. I'm stupid. And so I have to do just things like, if I'm ever alone in a hotel, I cannot hang out in my hotel room. I'm at a gym. Mm. I'm walking outside. I'm on a phone call in the lobby. I don't want to be alone very long, because alone me is nasty me. Mm. But I'm so blessed and able. And look, this doesn't make economic sense. It is a pain. It is so difficult and it's stressful. But my family and my wife go everywhere. They get on the bus with me Wednesday through Saturday. Now, look, that's not an option for everybody, you know. And honestly, when I sit down and meet with my financial people at the end of the year, they don't love it, you know, because it's six plane tickets and but you know what, life is short.
Yep.
And I'd rather be hanging with them and leaning on them for some accountability, and just they're what matters, you know, to me. And I'll forget that super fast. And so that's one thing that helps me, you know, performing. My business, they drink when they're sad and they drink when they're happy and they drink when they're in between, you know? And so praise the Lord, I have a band that kind of, we have similar values and we've been together a really long time, and I have a manager who doesn't drink. And so that's helpful. You know, I feel like God has blessed me with being able to surround myself with like-minded people who really want to pick each other up in that department, you know, and have also shared the struggle, not just like, I don't drink or whatever, but have they're in recovery also, you know? And so we're all trying to help each other, you know, work on that. So that's really that camaraderie. I don't know where I'd be, you know, without that.
That's great, man. I love that you get to bring your family out with you.
The best.
You hit it on the head. All of this stuff. Well, number one, life is short. Said that a couple times. But number two, all of the stuff at the end of the day, it's vanity and irrelevant. The most important thing, being a dad, being a husband, trying to be a good man, trying to lead our families, our communities well. You know, I know a lot of us had these big grandiose dreams, even when we were young kids, and we thought alcohol and drugs and whatever was the way to get, it was the path, you know, it was what we were shown. It was thrown upon us at a young age. And unfortunately it still is to a lot of these kids today, but man, like that's not what it's about. And I love that you are very aware of that. And we just got a few minutes left. I want to be respectful of your time.
No, you're good, dude. Take your time.
Let's hop into a little bit of, you know, I mentioned this before we started, you got a great opportunity through your music now to, you know, to really, I don't want to say promote, because we try to attract rather than promote, but to talk about recovery and to talk about, there's another path outside for grown men who are strong grown men who love God and we don't have to drink. There's another path there. So like,
yeah,
you're able to do that. You have a new project, Sober Thoughts, coming up. You also have the Same Drunk tour coming up. Tell us a little bit about both of those. What do those look like? And are you having some fun with those? And give us some details.
Yeah, man. So song, you know, at the core, I'm really just a songwriter who accidentally became, got to be the singer guy. And, that honestly, that's because nobody else would cut my stuff. So I have to sing it. Yeah. And, you know, dude, I just write what I'm thoughtful of, like just whatever I wake up and I'm like, oh man, that's interesting about life. And most of that, honestly, probably like you, has a lot to do with recovery, because once you get in it, you're just in it, you know, for the rest of your life. And, you know, with by the grace of God, and, you know, I'm always learning, like, you know, and there's just layers and layers to us as individuals, why we are and what, you know, how we kind of cope with life. And, but I have a new project coming out called Same Drunk. It's like you said, it's Sober Thoughts. But the first song is called Same Drunk. And it literally says, there's a line in the song that says, I'm talking about people's addictions. Mm-hmm. And I say, hey, I'm not about to start judging. I put down alcohol, picked up some new crutches. Hey, maybe we all just the same drunk, different beer. Mm. And it's just talking about how, like, six pack of abs, six pack of light, caffeine, wintergreen, like whatever it is, like we are all that, you know. And but that's just an example. It partners, that music is partnering with a non-alcoholic beer that I collaborated with Athletic Brewing Company.
Love those
and
guys.
Insane. And I'm a huge fan of them and what they stand for and what they're all about. And I love the taste of their beer. It's insane. And it's non-alcoholic. So you can drive around with it, whatever, you know, but it brings that experience that I missed to me, a good non-alcoholic beer on the boat or you know, around a fire pit or whatever, that's satisfying. Yeah. You know, it's a good thing, but those are examples of like kind of where my creativity lies. It's always, there's always a message, know, in there. Yeah. And usually it has to do with stuff I've been through. And a lot of my men, like I said, I mean, 13 to 36, I got a lot to figure out, you know, what happened in there and you know, what's wrong with me. And I got six kids that, you know, when I'm writing a song, I got to say, I'm like, they're going to listen to this. What I want to say that they might be like, hey, what do you mean by that, Dad? Mm. Or, you know, is that true, Dad? You know? And so there's a song called Beat the Bottle. There's a song called Beer in the Fridge. That's about this one beer that I looked at every day for about 6 weeks in my mini fridge in my writer's room when I quit. And it was like every day it was like, I win, you know, and I would shut the door on that beer. And I was always like, man, I should probably pour that out because it's dangerous. But I was like, nah, I'm just going to leave it. I'm going to leave it in there, you know? But man, I like to be brutally honest, especially about recovery, because in my heart, that matters, you know, that was life changing for me. Again, back to that moment, just saying, I'm kind of weak to this. And, you know, hearing someone else say that probably impacted me, you know, gave me permission to go, me too, man.
Like, I always think of the Apostle Paul, when I'm weak, I'm strong. That's like what it comes back to every time I hear that. When I'm weak, I'm strong. When I submit, there's hope in that. There's relief in that. Like there's so much in that. And it's so hard. It's so hard to do. I get it. It's not like it's just something that, boom, you know, it takes time and man, but it's so powerful. And then hold on. You said mini fridge. I got to show you one thing.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna crack my little mini fridge here. I got one of these left, man. And this is my favorite one. The Upside Dawn right here. The
Upside Dawn.
Yep. This is it right here. The Athletic Brewing. And I'll tell you what, I really, I realized recently how much it's about routine though. Like I got my Traeger out back, right? Like tonight some family come over and we'll cook up some burgers and hang out. I got, I'll do these sometimes, or I'll do like a soda water, a little cranberry, a little lime.
Yeah.
My wife, we get the big jug of cranberry juice. I always got it. It's ready. And it's my routine, you know? And so we have to find ways to replace the things that we do with healthier options. And there's a way to do it. So I'm sure you have some routine things that you do too. Is there any tips or any advice you might share with other dudes on anything around that?
Well, one, exercise is huge for me, but you can go overboard. You know, you start doing 2-3 hours in the gym pre-workouts.
Yeah.
You know, you're giving yourself shots in the butt and all of a sudden you're Dwayne Johnson, you know? So that, to me, that's the thing that for me, I've started doing it with my son. And so that keeps me in just a normal, like, hey, we're staying fit.
Love it.
But the non-alcoholic beer was a great option for me because it's just that experience, you know, it's that vibe. It's like, boom, crack it, have it, you know, fire pit, stuff like that. That's been helpful. I'm still like a mad recovering, smokeless tobacco guy. Mm. And I never leave home without like 2 packs of extra gum. And if you ever see me on camera, I'm usually like, the gum helps me. Sunflower seeds help me, but I hit the coffee probably too hard. Like if I were to go to the doctor, they'd be like, you need to calm down. But you know, like you said, you know, keeping a balance on those healthier options, it's a good practice, you know what I mean? And it's a great example for my kids, you know, to be like, look, let's practice some moderation together. Let's do it, you know.
The fitness is huge, man. That's a big one in my life too. Boxing, some CrossFit style workouts, lifting weights, and same. I love bringing my son's 9, his name's Cash. I bring him out there. Just we work out together. We have a good time together. I'm trying to be a good example to him. And man, that's where it's at. You know, it's a great time.
It is. It is.
Yeah. So before we wrap up today, last question for you. Just maybe a piece of advice. I know you've given a couple, man. So appreciate your time. What can you tell other dudes out there who want to get sober, but maybe they just don't know where to start?
Well, just have mercy on yourself, you know, for a second. I mean, there's no, you know, this song I have coming out, it says, I ain't got to ask why do you drink? I ain't got to ask why do you smoke? Because, I mean, it's life, man. I mean, life will tuck your tail, and numb sounds so appealing sometimes, you know, especially, dude, I'm 44 and... Yeah. I don't know. I'm looking this way at the end of it. And I'm also looking back at my childhood, but in the meantime, I got to raise kids and I got to, you know, I need to be a dad and a husband. And sometimes I'm just like, man, rather than focus on all the plates I'm dropping, I would love to just check out, you know? So that's understandable. So don't let anybody look at you and be like, how could you do it? You know, guilt is not from God. I don't think that's the thing at all. And, I just love to express to people that, and I'm sure you feel this way. There was a moment in my life where I actually told a friend it just was never going to happen. You know, that's the sobriety just, it was an impossibility. Like it seemed way harder than having a hit in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, freeing myself. Cause I was just such a secretive user and a lying user, and just it controlled me 100%.
Yeah.
And there's millions of examples like me, you know, out there. And, cause I think too often the negative stats of recovery are revealed, you know, you Google it, only this many people ever get free, but it is a real thing. You know, there's real freedom. And honestly, man, the most freedom from addiction just comes from Christ. And you hit it on the head earlier when you I think you said the word surrender. And dude, for dudes, it's hard to believe and trust that surrender is a positive thing. Like you said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. I don't know. And that doesn't make sense to a dude, you know, but surrender, it's just where to start, man. Just say, dude, I can't lick this. This isn't, you know, I'm a slave to this. That statement, woo. That's a great place to be. That is right where Jesus wants you.
Yeah.
And that's okay. You know, that is okay. That's way better than you just being like, nah, I got this, you know? And that, you know, that's what I try to teach my kids, you know, every day in their own struggle. So I hope that makes sense.
Oh yeah, it does, man. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. I think you hit that right on point, man. That surrender, that submission. And that's why I asked you that earlier. I wanted to hear your take on when you said that, if you felt that some pressure. I remember the weight of the world just coming off my shoulders when I told my wife, like, hey, look, I can't do this anymore. Like, I have a problem and I need some help.
Right.
And it was the hardest thing to do, but it was so powerful and it changed my life. It changed my family's life. It changed the trajectory of my kids' life. We're talking broken curses, like family curses, like decades old, man. And it's absolutely insane. And man, all glory to God in that too. So man, where can folks find you? I'm going to put the link to the website. It's walkerhayes.com. But where can I get more info about the tour, about the new album coming up, all that stuff?
Yeah. So you can get, let's see, on Instagram. I do my own Instagram, so you can always get stuff fresh and information there. Walkerhayes.com. Athleticbrewing.com. You can, I think the pre-sale to the beer that we collabed on is April 10th.
Oh, nice.
So you can check that out. It's like a classic Pilsner, just a classic pale Pilsner. It's just America in a can. It's so awesome. And I can't wait for that. But yeah, just those places. I'm always on TikTok and stuff, but yeah, stay tuned. Same drunk tour coming up. And but yeah, surrender, man. I love what you just said. That was good stuff.
Hey, thank you, sir. I appreciate you coming on today. And we'll be sure to put all the links from everything we talked about today in the show notes. And I just want to say this too. I know some people, you know, NA beverages can be a trigger for you. And if that's you, that's totally cool. Like you're good.
Yeah.
Like don't touch them. Like we're not, like, to each his own. Everyone's a little different and you got to know where you're at in your recovery and your support. And there's a lot of different choices out there. And at the end of the day, man, that community around us and doing what's best for us, we got to know what that is. So man, hey Walker, thanks again. It was great to meet you, man. Thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
You too.
Yeah, sure.
Have a good one, man.
Thank you, sir. Share the podcast with a friend. Connect with us on Instagram at That Sober Guy Podcast. Peace, love, and respect. I love you guys. Thanks so much for tuning in and keep your blood clean.